Sorry.
Two down. Cubs lead by a run. Tying run at first. Martinez at the plate. Bryant guards the line at third. Here we go. Montgomery's pitch. A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs come pouring out of the dugout, jumping up and down like a bunch of delirious 10-year-olds. The longest drought in the history of American sports is over, and the celebration begins.
We love that call, the final out of the World Series. Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer, and one Mark Grody on that fateful night in Cleveland on a Wednesday. And we celebrate the Cubs' 100 years of being on radio on 670 The Score and the Cubs Radio Network tonight. This is Rahemian Harris. Mark Grody is in for Marshall Harris. And I always like to do a little fun holiday something. If you know me and I've been here enough years, then you know I try to sneak in a little fun holiday surprise here and there with segments. Sometimes they're segments we can never talk about again.
Yeah. You set up a little motif. Sometimes you decorate. Sometimes they're discussions. Sometimes you bring in food. Sometimes you bring gifts. None of that is true, but you do like to do fun little radio segments.
I bring the gifts to the people, whether it's fun audio or special guests. And I feel like today is a perfect day because tonight we're celebrating that at Wrigley. If I didn't know better, I'd say those little sneaky sneaks over there, Crane Kenny and Colin Faulkner. How interesting that you wanted to celebrate the Cubs 100 years of being on radio, where, say, you celebrate, I don't know, the World Series win, for example, with Cleveland in town. Interesting how that worked out.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is quite coincidental that Pat and Ron will be throwing out the first pitch. I will be there. I will be in the house tonight watching Pat and Ron do their thing out there. So it'll feel good for me to see Cubs and Guardians on Wrigley Field.
But also, because of that, I thought it would be a really good time to talk about some of your favorite memories from being on the Cubs radio broadcast.
Oh, my God. And like when we were talking about this and you brought this up, I was like, honest to God, I don't even know where to start. Like, what do you mean? Like my personal experiences, what I saw on the field. And I guess the answer is a little bit of all of the above. So you guys kind of helped me a little bit, like from stuff that you've heard in the past, narrow this down a little bit. I would start from that game seven moment in Cleveland. And I remember that booth being very busy, but there was an intensity and a tensity to it. You've got myself, Dave Miska, Pat and Ron, obviously. Matt Spiegel was wandering about the booth bringing grilled cheese sandwiches for everybody. Lisa
Aww.
Fielding. Oh, yeah. Spiegel was great. He was like a little kid, man. Lisa Fielding from WBBM was down there. She got the whole thing. Like I've got it somewhere on my Facebook page, the video of like right before game seven began. And of course, Mitch Rosen as well. The great Mitch Rosen, who was my executive producer throughout all of this for my 3-hour gargantuan radio pregame shows. So that was, and he was awesome, like Mitch, as you would expect, because that's how Mitch cut his teeth in this business. Our boss used to be a prominent producer in this town, and he's got it, like everything. He's like, I get this guy, okay, we're not gonna have that guy, let's have this guy, let's take a caller, let's do, I'm like, this is the greatest producer I've ever had, this is pretty awesome. It's the boss.
And this whole time I was in the studio, by the way, at NBC Sports Chicago. Mark Schanowski and I that night had the post game show, so it was Cap and Holly, and then it was us.
Oh, that's awesome. That, like, just to have a piece of it, a taste of it as a media person in any way, shape, or form, it's pretty cool. But I will just say, like, I mean, there's so much obvious. I mean, I could do the whole 20 minutes here on that night.
You could.
But I will say that when that final out was made, I did gulp really big. Like, I felt like, like, you know, like a lot of people say, it takes a while for it to sink in. Like, there was an immediate moment. I had a moment, and I had to quickly get over the moment because there was the most important part of the job was just about to occur for me anyway, not for the sake of the broadcast, but for me doing now a 2.5 hour post game show. So yeah, I mean, it was just, it was an unbelievable night, the whole game seven experience in Cleveland.
Well, and I think it's really cool that one of the gifts you get from working at the Score is Pat Hughes' scorecard from that night.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, and I've been lucky enough to present that gift to other people. And, yeah, man, I'm really happy. I enjoyed the moment, I think, there. And it certainly was not something that I would ever take for granted in any way, shape, or form. Okay, so that's a game feeling moment, and I don't know if I did it justice, and like I said, I can say much more about it. How about now a funny story?
Of course.
From the broadcast. This
of
is
course.
This is a little bit of a classic. I've told this one on the Score many times, but I have a new audience, I think, for all three of you guys here. For Layla, I think Ray says he may have heard it. I don't know if Tyler Farengol, who is here. What's up, baby T?
Baby T's
baby
like
T is in the hizzy.
Old. He hasn't heard it.
Well, that's true. He's just a baby, isn't he?
He's just a baby like Dave the Cat.
So this is 2015. This is my first year doing, for people who have no idea, I did Cubs pre and post 15, 16, and 17. Lucky me, literally. I was there when the Cubs, they just went to the NLCS every year. I was there. I admit it.
There's
a lot of former pregame hosts that did the Cubs that hate me because I'm the, oh, this guy steps in and they just go to the NLCS. There's a lot of long suffering. Shout out to Andy Mazur and Judd Surratt and everybody that has done the job before me.
Love Andy.
I love those guys.
I worked with Andy in San Diego.
Oh, those guys were great. Those guys were great, man. I was like, man, can I do it like these guys? I don't know. But anyway, in 2015, I'm new on the job. So you know how it is. You got a new job, and that was a fairly prominent gig. You want to do everything right. You don't want to upset anybody. You don't want to disappoint anybody. There was a night in 2015 where Eddie Vedder happened to be in the booth, and it was one of my first interactions with him. I'm a huge Pearl Jam fan. I think everybody, I have told way too many stories about Pearl Jam to people, but I love Eddie Vedder. I love Pearl Jam. He came in the booth. Pat and Ron interviewed him. They know how much I love Eddie Vedder. I chatted it up with Eddie Vedder for a little while. And so then after Eddie leaves the booth, on the radio, Pat and Ron and me sitting behind them doing the pregame show. And this was a little bit of the back and forth that I had with Mr. Pat Hughes in regards to the front man from Pearl Jam.
Time for the seventh inning stretch, and here he is, Eddie Vedder. Mark, thank you. Before you turn the microphone off, I know you are a huge Pearl Jam fan and Bears. Eddie Vedder fan, and you had a chance to meet him. What was that like?
Fantastically friendly guy. I feel like I know him. I feel like we're friends now. I feel like I put BFF before Eddie Vedder.
All right, we go to the eighth inning. Lucas Duda will lead off and take a strike.
Lucas Duda, that's a blast from the past in and of itself.
Did you notice, though, how Pat? So this requires a little bit more explanation. So
he was so like, okay.
So he had kind of, like, when Pat, sometimes when Pat interacts with, at least when I was there, he would kind of turn his head a little bit towards me, you know, like, hello, Mark, would you like to engage with us on the radio here? And after I said the BFF thing, you heard what Coomer said. Immediately, you heard no response from Pat. He just turns back around, back to the game, ball two. And I'm like, what the hell? What did I do? What's going on here? Why is Pat mad at me?
Because to pull back the curtain a little bit, yes. Typically, you will find that if you're brought in by an announcer, whether you're you, the third person in the booth, me as a sideline
right.
reporter,
Zach
whatever.
Does that now. Yep.
Yes. That there's an acknowledgement on the front end and there's some sort of acknowledgement on the back end.
Right.
Now, sometimes logistics will not allow for that. So you don't have that case.
Right. Maybe there's a hit. Maybe there's a commercial.
If I'm in a basketball game and you got to get in and out quickly, or you're even in that year, 2015, if you're working with a fast worker beyond the mound, you don't want to miss any of the action.
Absolutely.
But that was not the case here.
And you learn those rhythms, by the way. Right, Pat turns around, continues to broadcast the game, and then they take the break. You know, Cubs lead the game on the Cubs radio network. So mics are off. Pat turns around to me, like does the full 360.
Oh,
or maybe a 180, I don't know. I guess it'd be 180, right?
180.
Yeah. So he turns around, like, the full turn. I'm not just getting the head. Oh, I got the full turn. What's, I got Miska back. Oh, we got the full turn. Oh, what's he want? He's like, he goes back, goes, okay, Mark. He goes, what's BFF? And it's best friends forever. Best friends forever. Hmm? I don't know. He's like, I don't know if we do that stuff around here. And so then he turns back around. He thought, and I don't remember exactly how he said it, so I don't want to misrepresent him. He thought I was dropping F-bombs. He thought BFF was F-bombs. And Coomer's dying. Coomer's under the table. Nobody's helping me out. Coomer's under the table. Miska's like, ah! And I'm just sitting there, what did I do? Am I going to lose this job? And I even said to Pat, I go, ask your daughters, man. He's got young daughters. I said, they'll know. They'll tell you. BFF,
not
man.
Not even
dump
Coom.
Dump them.
Not even Coom. Not even Miss. They didn't. Coom, no?
They knew, but they were leaving me on the island because it's Pat. Look, it's Pat's booth, man. It's Pat's booth. He's the king of the booth. He's the Hall of Famer. So they're just like, Grody, good luck digging. You're the one who had to say BFF on the air.
Dump him.
You're
dump
the one him. Who's got to be talking about Eddie Vedder. You can dig yourself out of this there, Mr. Pregame Guy.
You know what happened? You basically had the Craig Council relief pitching experience. Like, you're on the mound, and there's runners at second and third, and it's the wind blowing out, and you're just, like, on an island.
Oh, yeah. I'm on an island. I'm helpless. And I just had this, like, sinking feeling the rest of that day. And then I don't even remember if there's anything ever said about it afterwards. But it was all good. It was all good there afterwards.
Mark Grody says with a somewhat tense smile.
Yes, yes.
This is the Remy and Harris Show on The Score. Mark Grody is in. And we're celebrating the 100 years of Cubs radio tonight, which I think is really cool. You get a speaker if you go to the game. I do think there's some symmetry in the fact that it is in the Cleveland series. Wink.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I wink in the direction of Colin Faulkner and Crane Kenny on that one.
Oh, of course. And yeah, we got Pat. Are Pat and Ron, do they both get to throw out a pitch? Do we know? Like, or is it just one of them that throws
Mitch
out the pitch?
Mitch is here. He's in the booth
Maybe
now.
Mitch can clarify.
The producer for Mark Grody's 3-hour pre- and post-game shows is in the booth right
I was
now.
Just talking about that with the... Come on in, Mitch. Come
yeah,
on in.
Pop on, Mitch.
Come on
you
in,
you know
man.
How this works.
Yeah, there we go.
Storytelling. Coom is throwing to Pat.
Coom throwing. Oh, okay. So Coom is. Yeah. You want to jump on?
One of these.
Oh, you got me another one.
Card. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is great.
Hey, Mitch. How's it going?
Hi, Layla.
Dry Dogs. Yes. Yeah. Mitch Rosen was a huge part of. No, seriously, man. This ain't just kissing up. I'll do that on my own time, the kissing up part.
But this you, morning.
But yeah. But this guy, man, what a bond, dude. Like the 3-hour pre,
Cleveland. Yeah.
That was a blast. And the Dry Dogs, the whole thing.
One thing about
Tell
that.
Tell me about that, by the way.
The Cleveland pre-show meeting, pre-game meeting, it was like at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And the forecast, there was nothing in there about rain. Everyone remembers the rain delay. Len Casper, you know, there's no local TV. So Len jumped in. Remember, he was on the field interviewing players.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And 1 or 2 o'clock that afternoon, he said to Miska and the whole group, he goes, we should get an umbrella just in case it rains. And we all looked at our phones. There's no rain because, A, nobody knew it would go after midnight, and there was no rain in the forecast. So I said to Miska, hey, would you mind going to Walgreens or CVS? I gave him the company credit card. But Len was the one who said, get the umbrella. And what happened? Rain delay.
Yep. Yeah. Obviously, the most famous rain delay of all time.
Correct.
That was hilarious. Yep. That's right.
But there was bonding through the playoffs and the World Series, and Grody was great, Pat and Ron, and it was special. I mean, it was to see guys like Coomer, a lifelong Cub fan, crying when it was over.
Yeah.
I mean, I started crying.
I mean, yeah.
Why wouldn't you? I get goosebumps when you guys tell the story. And what's funny is I was a part of it. You know, I was sitting with Mark Schanowski, and we're just going through all the emotions, just sitting in the studio watching. And Mark has to say, he's like, oh, my son is going to be devastated by this. And he was not, Mark. Mm. He was not.
Not this team. Not that team. And that was the theme of that team. I always said, like, say this on the radio every chance I got, like, when there were moments where it felt like it wasn't going to happen, it was going to be the same old Cubs. I was like, this Cubs team is collectively, figuratively hugging 40,000 people at Wrigley every night saying, we got you. It's okay. This ain't 07, 08. This right. ain't 03. This ain't 1984. This is 2016, and it was all on the score.
One question. When the team was flying, when they left Chicago and they were down going to Cleveland, was it like doom and gloom, or was it the same attitude like, we've got this?
No, it was... I hate to give an answer like this. They were kind of like they always are. Mm-hmm. Now, those flights were different because they had so many people on them.
And families,
the
too,
families
right?
families on there. You have Cubs employees. So the plane is literally three times as large. Mm-hmm. So in that way, it almost feels like this big family vacation mm-hmm. because of the cargo. Because mm-hmm. it's everybody. It's just, pack up the plane. We're all going to Cleveland. So it really kind of felt... normal. I will say this, like the one, unfortunately, like doing the pregame show or the postgame show, one thing I didn't get to do was really spend time in the locker room afterwards or down, which you got to do mm-hmm. with Pat and Ron.
Yeah, special.
And I understood that was part of my gig, but, mm-hmm. but the really cool thing that happened to me on the way home, on the plane ride home with the Chicago Cubs, with the World Series trophy, I'm on the plane, on the team plane, Anthony Rizzo's got the trophy and he just looks at me and he goes, here, hold on to this.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, is right. Like, yeah. Like just sitting there on this plane, t-shirt on, we're all like, just did 3 hours of post game on the here you go, hold on to this. Wow. And he just like left it with me. He's like, yeah, go ahead, hold on to that. And then I think I gave it to somebody else.
But which, if you speak baseball, you know that is a big, big deal.
It's not just a hunk of metal.
Yeah. I don't think it is, but I'm saying, but for Rizzo to even have that gesture to you, you know, you just explain why a lot of people love him so much.
That's right. Oh, would you explain to Layla the dry dog situation?
So, it sounds weird, which it wasn't. So there, Cleveland, I don't think the media relations was prepared for all the media people, so there wasn't enough food for the press. So by the time we were done with our pregame, Mark, Pat, Ron, they wanted something to eat, nothing left for the press, so there were boxes. So I went down to the concourse, and they ran out of condiments like ketchup and mustard. Not that anybody would have ketchup on their hot dogs. And they were so nice. And I ordered like 30 hot dogs for like Len was with us, Miska and others. And they gave me one of those like serving metal chafing dishes. And I came back with, and I think, Coombs, you got any mustard? I said, they're just dry dogs. So from then on, it was dry dogs.
And then like Pat, like, because that's so Pat, like to take something like that and run. Well, Mitch Rosen, our fine boss, has brought dry dogs to the booth. We have dry dog. Like Pat loved that. Loved the dry dog.
So that was a theme. And that was that just game seven dry dogs, or was it?
I don't know. I'd have to go back. We got to, like, this stuff. Mitch, it's 10 years next year.
Unbelievable.
Stuff is getting away from us a little bit.
One thing I want to say in you know, the 100th anniversary, personal feeling, obviously been in the business a while. Baseball on the radio is special, right? It's a relationship you have, whether it's Pat Hughes or Len or other baseball announcers. And TV is great. You can watch it. But baseball on a summer day, you know, listen on your app, listen on, you know, a transistor radio, however you listen. To me, it's special. It's a relationship you have with the team, with an announcer, with a radio station, and it's like a good book that you can't put down, and that's what baseball on the radio is to me. I don't know how you guys feel. Like, where you grew up, you know, listening, whether it was Rangers or the Astros, you were a Cubs fan. People have that relationship. I don't know how you feel.
I mean, are you kidding? That's how I learned how to do the job, was by calling into the radio after games, and not just that, but writing for my paper. So, mm-hmm. I think also it's just about how, what my biggest takeaway was how many people dedicated the World Series win to somebody else in their family who wasn't there.
Right.
And what I love is that that person had a relationship with the Cubs on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter necessarily where you are. It's the fact that we were there for you.
Mm-hmm. What you just said is perfect.
Yeah, and you're right. Yeah, I mean, let's listen to Lou Boudreau
right.
on the radio and Vince Lloyd.
Brickhouse.
Harry. And, who? I mean, we're probably missing somebody. Dwayne Statz. Yeah, Tom Brenneman. Brenneman was on the radio.
Yeah.
I mean, Milo Hamilton. And obviously, all of the modern-day broadcasters as well. So, yeah, it holds a special place in my heart. And by the way, I just want you to know, Mitch, for about the last 6 minutes or so, Ray Diaz has been trying to get us to break. So just
my
for
fault.
I feel like we're covered in here because Mitch is here. Like I feel like no harm, no foul, Ray. You have done your job.
What
sir.
Is it called when a player sit manager's decision or something? You know when you sit
coach's
a player.
Decision.
Coach's
decision.
Yeah.
I do want to also add this. I think a lot of times you'll hear a therapist say a trick to help quell anxiety is picture the voice of somebody. Try to hear the voice of somebody who made you calm, a parent or a grandparent or something along those lines. And I always think for a lot of people listening to baseball games or watching games, one of the Cubs radio announcers is the voice they hear.
That is nice.
Makes sense. Pat.
Yeah. And congratulations to 100 years of Cubs radio being with you.
Congratulations.
Mark Potash, the great writer, he's not gone. He's going to join us for Bears Talk, Cubs Talk, and more. That's next on The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
George, even with this year's playoff appearance, the Bears have been in the playoffs 7 times in 28 years since the end of the Ditka era. And to a lot of fans, that reflects on you. So how much merit is there to the idea that the Bears need people more rooted in football to make these football decisions than you and Ted?
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys. I've heard it often that Ted meddles in football affairs, and that notion is just absurd. It just doesn't happen. He's the president and CEO. Ryan reports to Ted. But the idea that Ted or I meddle in football decisions just isn't true.
That was George McCaskey and our guest. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score. Mark Potash is now joining us. I appreciate you doing this, Mark, because there's a void in my football and reporting heart not reading your stuff in the Sun Times every day now.
Well, thanks, Layla. I'm still out there, markpotash.net, if I can plug my website. Still writing some Bears and a lot of Chicago sports. So trying to stay active, but I appreciate that.
No, actually, that's why I wanted to have you on. I was actually circulating one of your markpotash.net articles recently among our group thread. And it's why I decided it would be a good idea. And thanks for joining us, because we still like talking to you about sports.
Well, I appreciate that because I can't get out of it. I thought there might be a chance that I'd be able to kind of cut the cord after all these years. But, you know, I've got so much built up and so much gas in the tank that I just can't stop. So, like, even though I don't get paid for this, I still have a great time writing. It's like exercise for me. So I just enjoy writing about sports and the Bears. And with this season coming up, it's going to be – I'm going to miss it, but also try and be a part of it. So it's going to be a little bit tricky for me.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely are going to miss the Mark Potash very direct questions that we always appreciate. We were just talking about this yesterday, and I'm not sure if you know Potash, but I do a podcast with Dan Weider called Take the North, which I think that you've been on a couple of times, I believe.
Not lately.
Sounds like you need to have him on.
You're hilarious.
Just kidding, Mark.
No, I know. So one of the things that we were talking, a couple of things actually that I'd love to spread over to you. We're talking about JT Watt and his situation in Pittsburgh, and there's no way the Steelers are going to actually let him go, and I don't think the Bears would actually make a play for him. My opinion is, and maybe you think differently, and maybe Layla you do, but my opinion is the Bears right now are 1 year away from making those moves, because everybody wants the Bears whenever somebody pops up and one of there's a free agent running back or a free agent defense, everybody's like, go get that guy. And the Bears have resisted. I think they're a year old. They've improved their team, and there's a certain amount of expectation now, but that stuff is next year. I guess my question is to bring it full circle to you, Potsy, is what, first of all, do you agree with that? And What are the expectations for this Bears team this year? Because we're quickly coming to the point where that's going to be discussed in earnest during training camp.
Yeah, Mark, I think, you know, the Bears, they always seem like they're further away. But I don't think a team that's comprised like the Bears are with their head coach or quarterback, I don't think you're ever consider yourself a year away. I learned that lesson in 2018 when during training camp we were doing these videos. And, you know, Pat Finley and I, what about Khalil Mack, you know, who was kind of in limbo with the Raiders. And the Bears aren't close enough to get a make a move, like kind of the same thing.
Great example.
And sure enough, they got him and it made a huge difference and they were closer than they thought. So ever since then, I've always thought I just think the way the Bears are comprised, I say go for it, whether it's Hendrickson or Watt or anybody. I say go for it. And if it's reasonable, and I think the Bears have room to do that. So no, I would be in favor of any big move they make because I think they have enough potential. You know, they have potential for great disappointment. They have potential for a really good season. And the division that looks so strong can come back to you in a hurry in this league. So I guess my point would be if a situation arose, I would go. I think they're in a position where they can go for it. Where, you know, it's not like the Blackhawks don't want to do anything too soon because they're too far away. They truly are too far away, but the Bears are not.
No, I agree with you, Mark. And actually, I think the best teams are usually ahead of schedule. And that's an all sports discussion with me, whether it's baseball or football, notably. I feel like that's the case. You're a little better than you think you are, and that's a good thing. So
a quarterback and a coach like this, a potential for that, this is much different. I always say I'm a big skeptic of the Bears for many years, but this is different. And this gives, you know, they can be a big disappointment, but they can also they have the pieces in place, if I may use that phrasing, to at least dream about being one of those surprise teams. And that's the difference. They have a guy who I said this many times, but it just bears repeating. I mean Ben Johnson has called plays before. Matt Nagy had not. Ben Johnson has three years of success in the NFL consecutively. Mark Trestman did not. He's an offensive coach. Lovie Smith is a defensive coach. Matt Eberflus is a defensive coach. So they've got the right pieces to make that move. So I think it's fair to at least, you know, kind of dream big and as long as you, you know, kind of stay on course and don't fall apart like so many other Bears teams have done.
That has happened. We are talking to longtime Bears beat reporter Mark Potash. You can find his stuff now at markpotash.net. He made it easy for you. And one of the reasons I also wanted to have you on was I appreciate your questions, not just the way you ask them, but the journalistic curiosity, and then B, the fact that you're not afraid of a good follow-up. Do you have questions of the Bears that you feel like maybe haven't been addressed since you're no longer a regular beat reporter with them?
Well, not really. I can't really say there are any questions. The Bears, you know, they seem like they've made all the right moves and stuff like that. And there's certain things like, you know, I question like, really minor stuff. Like DeAndre Swift was kind of a washout in Ben Johnson's offense in Detroit. And now he's the number one guy. What's going to be different this time than it was that time? And how open is that competition going to be? Because Ben Johnson likes this guy. But there's no I don't think there's any you know, major questions, I think, that have not been asked or anything like that. So I feel like I'm kind of wait and see and kind of hoping for the best. And then we'll see what happens.
Do you think Caleb's going to take that big jump this year?
I think that's a huge question, Mark. I'm on record. I've said that many times. I just think last year, and I know, Mark, I've told you before I think last year showed that he's not this like instinctive, you know, plug and play quarterback. I think he needs a lot of work. And I think that's why it's good that Ben Johnson is his head coach. I think this gives him the best chance, but I think it's going to take more work than you think, I think, to get him right. But obviously again, the potential, he's a better prospect than Mitch Trubisky or Justin Fields. So he can have a huge season, but I just don't think it's going to happen automatically. I think it's going to take some time.
Mark, you got me hook, line, and sinker on April Fool's Day. I was completely believing that you were going to be the new Bears historian. I wish I were kidding, but no, I actually believed you. I will bear witness and confess that that was that you got me good that day.
Well, sorry about that, Layla. You know, I think I kind of botched that because in my mind, you know, the way I've written about the Bears or just in general talked about the Bears, I thought that was such a ridiculous notion. But apparently the people, like somebody pointed out to me, like, you know, Bob Verdi was a really big critic of the Blackhawks all the time. He's their historian. So, you know, Bob Verdi is, you know, one of the best of all time.
Amen.
So if it could happen to him, it was a more, I guess, I think I even explained this, that it was a more reasonable thing than I thought. So I kind of, that was kind of a misplay on my part. So people, sorry about that.
No, don't apologize. People respect you. And I could actually see, George McCaskey respects you. You can tell in the conversation that you two have. So for me, it wasn't far-fetched.
Shout out to Bob Verdi, by the way. Verds, the old baseball writer, Cubs writer, columnist, and one of the greats here in this town. I mean, I kind of looked at that like, have you seen It's a Wonderful Life? Hasn't everybody seen It's a Wonderful Life? You've seen It's a Wonderful Life, right, Mark Potash?
Yes.
It reminded me of when Potter was trying to hire George Bailey, like for ridiculous money, like $500 a week or whatever it was back then. And George is like, yeah, I'll take that. Oh, yeah. Sure. Go home. Go talk to your wife. Go talk to your And then George finally is like, no. I'm not going to work for you, you old, warm, frustrated old man. So I think that's what would have happened with you if you had actually taken the money. You wouldn't be able to handle it.
Yeah, it would be awkward. But on the other hand, I love the idea of being historic. I love history. I love Chicago sports history. And the Bears are going to open a Hall of Fame in their new stadium. So, maybe I could be the curator for that museum. You know, I might apply for that.
I love it.
I would like it to go push a button at that museum and have like Mark Potash's face come up, like they do at like the Field Museum and the Museum of Science and Industry, where the interactive stuff. Would you be open for something like that, Potsy? Could you teach us Bears history and certain stuff?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I like the idea of someone being able to push a button and see my face on the screen. But I would like something like that. Yes, I love. That's my favorite thing about what I'm doing now is when I write, like I call it "Blast from the Past," where I write about just sports history because I lived so much of it now that I'm old and it's just it's a lot of fun and I think I have a good perspective on it.
Yeah,
so,
you do.
Yeah, so I would love to do something like that, but I still got a lot of Bears or any Chicago sports like kind of reporting in me, and I'm looking forward to doing that too.
No, I appreciate it. In fact, I think your article and your commentary on the NFL and the collusion discussion, which we've talked a lot about with Mike Florio, that's on markpotash.net. And I think that is, that's why I wanted to have you on. Like, your football opinion is still, it's needed by me. I'll say that much.
Yeah, thanks, Layla. I appreciate it.
Well, and also, if people want to read it, you know, what can they expect to see on your site?
Well, I do a lot of different things. I mean, the funny thing is, like, people always tell me that, like, the way to really get these things started is to pick one lane and go through that. But the reason I don't, it's hard to do that because I don't like writing about just things that when there's nothing to write about. And this is a dead time of the Bear season. So I'm writing a lot of sports, but I also have other interests in, and I write like a lot of, I write a lot of sports history. I just wrote a story the other day on one of my favorite moments of my childhood in 1967, when the Cubs and Sox were in first place for 3 hours on July 2nd after a win. And it was a huge thing. And people, this is where you need historians, because it doesn't seem like a big deal now. But back then, the Cubs hadn't been even in the first division for 20 years. It was a huge, you look at just check that out. Look at the pictures in the papers about how it was front page news. It was a huge thing. So I really get a kick out of that. That was kind of, I call it a magic moment. And it was in 1967. And I write a lot of nostalgia, but I like also, I'm a big sports collector. So I write about like sports collecting and, I have a huge collection of kind of sports memorabilia and things like that. Like I wrote like about my press passes and stuff like that. I kept most of those. And so I picked out a few of the, I'm doing a story now where I kind of pick out a few of the top, my favorite events. Like, I covered Michael Jordan at the McDonald's All-America game when he was in high school in Wichita, Kansas. I still have my press pass from that. So I kind of use that to kind of tell stories about, Chicago sports, all the Blackhawks championships and some of the Bulls ones. And so I do a lot of kind of nostalgia, collectibles, sports history, and of course, you know, sports commentary. But here's the key: only when it's warranted. You know, when I worked for the Sun-Times, we had to write every day, and sometimes there were things that you can only write so much. And now I kind of write what I want when I want. So as soon as the Bears start, you know, we're less than 3 weeks away. It's going to start ramping up, and I can already feel kind of the juices flowing. It's interesting how it kicks in automatically, and I could feel that already because I'm getting really excited about covering this Bears season. And I will say, for those of us who cover the Bears or have covered the Bears, this is going to be like the best season ever because the Bears have a chance to be really, really good. But if they're not, that's a big story too.
Oh yeah,
this will be the biggest. If this doesn't work out, this will be the biggest flop since the Ditka was fired, and that will be a huge story as well.
Damn,
and that's going to be the whole. That's going to be. I don't mean to get off topic here, but
no.
That's the big question is, will Hallis Hall change Ben Johnson before Ben Johnson changes Hallis Hall? And we've seen kind of good signs right now, just the way the impact he's had on the roster and how he's kind of like the co-GM and how he's kind of running things. But you still never know until you spend enough time in that building. And that used to be a joke of mine, but it's become more and more real that Hallis Hall makes you the worst version of yourself, and he's got to beat that. And so that's going to make this season really interesting to me. For fans, it might be a little frustrating, but for me and those of us who have covered the Bears, the reporters who do, it's going to be a really interesting season, one way or another.
Wow! So that answers the question about expectations, I suppose. If a flop is as bad or as big and archaic as Ditka getting fired, wow! I was just going to go back to 2019, but I'll go back to that. Sure,
I love it.
Well, because the expectations are so great.
Yeah, you're right.
You got the quarterback you want. You got the coach you want. You're not hampered. The defense is still good. I mean, the offensive line is fortified. I mean, everything is right. This should work. And if it doesn't with this, then there's the question, what can you do if Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams don't work out? What's your next step? Because it was always, well, they need a better quarterback, or they need the offensive head coach. They need the quarterback whisperer. Now they've got it. But now, if this doesn't work, where do you go?
Hell yeah, Mark Potash. MarkPotash.net is where you can find his work, and we appreciate you joining us on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score.
Hi, Potsy.
What's up, everybody?
It's halftime.
Sorry, Mark Potash. We didn't mean to cut you off there. Potsy joined us for the last segment, and he started letting it rip at the end, didn't he, Mark?
Oh, Randy? He got all wound up there. Like, he answered the first question I asked better at the end than he did at the beginning when I asked my long-winded question about what the expectations were for the Bears, and he basically said it's must win. He didn't say that because he did say if this year's a failure, and we didn't ask him what the parameters of failure are necessarily for the Bears, but let's just say it's four games under 500, four or five games under 500. He said that this will be as colossal as when Mike Ditka was fired.
And that's why I like to get Mark Potash still in the mix on the Bears, man. It's
good.
We
call
are not
by
the
you.
Same without him. I miss his coverage.
Love your thought process, Layla, the producer.
You know, we're all a tapestry here, and you need different viewpoints on a beat. I like hearing from everybody.
Oh,
so that
yeah.
was awesome.
We didn't even get into baseball, except for some of the nostalgia that he was discussing
on
his website.
Yeah, the hot 3 hours where the Cubs and Sox were in first place at the same time in the 60s. That was great. So if you missed it, you can go back and listen on the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. Additionally, we talked about the Cubs and last night's game for a good hour because it was a gritty game and there was a lot that went on. Mark Grody brought the receipts. And to celebrate the 100-year anniversary of Cubs Radio, tonight that they are doing at Wrigley Field, Mark got to tell some really good stories about covering the team during the World Series, which I thought was fantastic.
Sick.
So
it's nap time.
It is, and I have fortunately trained my algorithm to do the most necessary thing. I now just get stories about Bears.
Bears.
Not just the Chicago Bears, but
Bears.
Other Bears.
Bears.
So the headline in the Daily Mail said, people shocked by bizarre items found in every room of a, quote, normal detached house on sale for £305,000. Do you know what was in the normal house that shocked everybody?
A bear.
Thousands of teddy bears.
Oh.
The pictures are hilarious.
Oh, man. Teddy bears, not bears.
Oh no! Something happened on the Daily Mail, and the antivirus came up. Dang,
have you lost it? Okay,
let's try it again.
I could read a text that I wanted to read to you.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, because actually this one just popped up and it's perfect.
The Daily Mail is a clean site. What are we doing here, guys? It's not like I'm on some weirdo site.
So my guy Wayne is out and about today. Wayne, the texter from West Lafayette, he's like, you know, doing all his Wayne stuff, which is just positivity. But he also says at the top, hope to see Layla and Ozzy at Four Winds July 17th. And
it's happening.
And I was there recently with Dave Wanstead.
I hear it's a pool party. I'm pretty excited.
It's a blast.
I might wear shorts.
You should wear shorts. You do a little Q&A, I assume, and then you go out into the gaming area and you hang out, and it's just fun.
I'm excited. Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Wayne.
If you look at the pictures, like, this is just one of those houses that's for sale.
Bear.
You look at the outside pic, and it looks like a typical house. But on the inside, there are thousands of bears. I'm going to send this to you because it's that hilarious.
It's going to be a pilgrimage for me.
I'm going to email it to you.
I am going to drive miles and miles to the bear house where I walk into the bear house.
Grody, I only have one email for you and it's your personal. So okay. I'm sending it to you now.
Why do you got
to
get personal?
It's just thousands of bears. They're everywhere.
Oh my God.
It's like some 1990s theme kitchen exploded all over the house. I can't even explain it to you. It's so funny because the way they describe it in the story is entertaining because, you know, it's British. A four-bedroom house in a quiet cul-de-sac has just gone on sale, but potential buyers face a shock if they look around the home for a viewing. From the outside, there is nothing out of the ordinary about the detached suburban property in North Allerton, North Yorkshire. And in the current market, a four-bedroom detached house for £305,000 is a deal that many buyers would think about making. However, despite the reasonable price, there's one unexpected feature that will grab the attention of prospective buyers. Many people have kept their childhood teddy bear as a keepsake or to pass down to their own kids. This homeowner has taken it to a new level. Also, this is a very British story because Americans collect stuff all the time. One of the bedrooms has a cabinet full of teddy bears of all different sizes, designs, and colors.
Bears.
And if that wasn't enough, there are even more bears in the home's three other bedrooms, as well as the living room. It's not just teddy bears, as if you look closely enough, you can spot a number of other stuffed toy animals, as well as several baby dolls. The judgment in this story for bears.
Bears.
Imagine going on a date and bringing a girl back for the first time, and she goes into this room, and all these eyes are staring at you. And then it's just judgmental pictures of all these bears. If she hated teddy bears, she would be running out of the door straight away. But it doesn't end there, because in the second bedroom, there are even more bears.
What?
And they're absolutely everywhere. Honestly, bears are just taking over this place. You can't get away from them. Hey, listen here, Europe. We collect a lot of stuff in our houses in America. I don't even want to tell you about storage units. That's a whole different situation.
So that's a whole game right there. It should be pointed out, and I received your email to my personal email. Thank you, Layla.
What do you think about these pics of all these
bears?
Well,
so it's more organized than I thought. When you first said it, I just pictured this house like a hoarder with bears stuffed throughout in an unorganized fashion.
Perhaps to the Brits it is, because they can't imagine, A, having all this room, and then, B, filling it with collections, as we tend to do here.
These are shelved bears. And
if collecting items is wrong, I don't want to be right. And this is the United States of America.
And while we're at it, hoarding is cool too. It's no, maybe not.
We buy stuff. It's July 4th. I bet you bought something July 4th related. Are you going to judge?
Yeah. And don't recycle. Stupid.
I love recycling. I know it doesn't happen often, but I still try to do my part. Because I love America. I want to keep it as clean as possible.
That's right. Buy recycled items.
I'm looking forward to my next bear story for you.
You have another bear story?
At some point, yeah, the algorithm is giving bear stories to me, and I love it.
Oh, my God. Why are bear stories not in my algorithm?
You just got to type in bears more. But watch out, because on the internet, unprotected, you have to make sure it's like a specific... I do Chicago bears a lot, and I think I save all these stories about the teddy bears and such. So then I just get all these bear stories, like the baby bears and all of that.
Oh, yeah. What about bears, too? Have you ever received anything from anybody on bears, too?
I'm still trying to figure out what that roster looks like.
It's interesting. It's a lot of waiver claims at this point.
Bears too.
Bears baseball.
Bears 2, because if Bears 1 bugs you, Bears 2 is here for you.
That's right.
And Bulls 2 really started to take shape this week.
Though. What? There's a Bulls 2?
I feel like we had a bit of Bulls 2
What's
going
been going on around here
Bulls
without me?
Bulls 2 is nothing but draft picks, actually.
Bulls dose.
That's Bizarro Bulls.
Bizarro Bulls and Bulls 2 is the Sacramento Kings, I thought we determined.
Hey, by the way, this is
no,
my...
No, that's just... No, that is Bulls 1A.
Just when I thought I couldn't see another great way of somebody botching my name, and I have no... That's fine. Hey, Groth. That's a new one, man.
Groth! How many bears do the bear people get? Good question, though.
Wow. Well, I'd have to know if they're from here. Let's not get carried away.
They're British!
Oh, see? Zero bears.
What? But they have thousands of bears.
They are definitely not from here.
Wow.
But you'll be soon.
Grody's really looking forward to my 10-year anniversary of living here. Well, let's get pizza.
Okay. We'll do pizza. I'm going to come up with some sort of oath for you, and then you will never, ever, ever have to tell people that you're not from Chicago. Why? Because Mark Grody said so.
What happens when they're like, oh, what high school did you go to? And I'm like,
I'll set you up with a full identification.
I went to Joey Jojo Jr. Shackadoo
you know
High.
I'll hook you up at Farringall and Mine
East
High
North
School.
I went to North Southerton.
Lake Park High School, baby. You know, I told you that Farron baby T and I went to the same high school.
Oh, yeah.
He was just a baby, though.
How do you feel about me going to East North Southerton Ship?
Township?
Yeah.
Township. West Side.
Did it sound believable?
I think, yeah, it sounds totally. I believe that's over on the southeast side.
Ah, yeah. Yes. All right, then. Bears.
Bears.
Coming up next, it is time for Five on It. We'll have a little bit more Cubs talk. We also have to acknowledge baseball history happening last night, so we'll do that, too. But most importantly, Grody,
mm-hmm.
Bears.